inside information, Maine's best guest list, and the home of smart sports talk. Live from Seasons Restaurant at 427 Main Street in Bangor on The Pulse, AM 620, WZON, and online at WZONThePulse.com. This is Downtown with Rich Kimble.
It's Hour 2, Downtown, third day of December. Welcome on in. Live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor, Quality Jewelers Broadcast Studios. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole here with you this hour of the program. We'll join with Red Sox writer Jared Carrabas. Talk about, what apparently he did and engineered in bringing David Price to Boston. Our Throwback Thursday, a conversation with all-time minor league home run champion Mike Hessman as well. He announced his retirement from the game earlier this week. By the way, little business before we talk football with Andy Hart. We did get a correct answer to our trivia question. David Pelke of Bucksport, first correct caller through, who knew the first Red Sox pitcher to win the Cy Young Award. That was Jim Lonborg, Gentleman Jim, back in 1967. And for his efforts, David wins a pair of tickets to the upcoming Red Sox Hot Stove Night with Joe Castiglione and Dave O'Brien right down the street at the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor on Monday, December 14th. Let's talk Patriots right now. We are joined on the G&M Family Market telephone line by Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. Andy, good afternoon.
So the answer wasn't Cy Young?
That was not. That's what Stack thought, too. But no, it would make sense. But no. Andy, I want to know, after what happened earlier this week with Bill Belichick and a reporter, would you ever dare to ask Bill about the injury report?
We all have at various times. And, you know, I guess it's sort of short straws and somebody takes the bullet for the room. But, you know, that was certainly a strange situation. And he's delivered similar messages in the past with a little bit more of a smirk. There wasn't a lot of smirk this week targeting Michelle Steele from ESPN when she asked about the statement that they released with Rob Gronkowski. And I'm not sure what to make of the way Belichick handled that, but it was certainly a curious week from when Gronkowski was carted off to, you know, I guess the modern age. You see videos via Twitter of him walking around in the stadium tunnel shortly thereafter, and then, you know, leaks to Adam Schefter, leaks to Ian Rappaport, then Belichick not answering, then a team statement, then the video on Bleacher Report. So certainly the most unique injury situation we've ever had in New England, because usually injuries in New England are about as boring as you can get because they involve zero information.
Well, and it's also brought up, I think, an interesting discussion about Rob Gronkowski. And so I ask you, do you think that he is being targeted by other teams?
I don't personally, any more so than any other 6'6", 6'7", you know, 260-pound athletic tight end. I know this has become a topic this week because, you know, quite frankly, Tom Brady changed his tune. Sunday night he was asked about it and said it was not a dirty hit and it's just the way they have to tackle the big guys and it's playing football. And then on Wednesday he, you know, came out and said he thinks they need to look at it and maybe change the rules regarding defenseless receivers being hit in the knee. But I think that's just the way the game is played. These, you know, 180-pound defensive backs hit these big guys low. I think the Patriots defensive backs do it. Malcolm Butler was asked whether it was dirty, and he said no, and I think that's because he wants that tool in his arsenal. That's how you get down big backs. So big ball carriers, big receivers, big tight end. I think that happens at all levels. You know, I think if you watch a high school football game, you'll see a 210-pound tight end or running back getting taken down by 150-pound defensive back low, because if they go high, they bounce off, and that's a lesson the Broncos DBs learned on the first drive of the game when Darian Stewart, who later hit Gronkowski and injured him, and T.J. Ward, who has injured him in the past, both went high. Gronkowski brushed them off and danced his way into the end zone. So I think it's an unfortunate aspect of the game that you have to go low on these guys if you're going to be successful.
Do you think that going forward Gronk needs to change his style of play?
I don't. I don't know much that he can do. Because so much of his game is built on brute force, breaking tackles, running down the field. Because he's so heavy, his knees get planted. Now, that wasn't the situation this time like it was last time when he blew the ACL and MCL. The knee was in the air, and that probably prevented a more serious injury. I just think it's an unfortunate aspect of the game that he needs to deal with, and you got a scare this time, and you got away with it, and you know, it's been a couple of years since the ACL, and hopefully we can, you know, go from here and go another couple of years before we have another scare. But I think it's reality of the game and reality of, you know, quarterbacks can avoid getting hit. Tight ends make their money in the middle of the field.
Any updates on other injuries? Hightower, Amendola, any chance we'll see either one this week?
Yeah, I think Amendola is going to play. He spoke with the media yesterday. He declined to speak last week before sitting out the Denver game. He spoke with the media, was very upbeat. He's out there on a limited basis running around, and he sounded very much like a guy who was looking forward to getting back on the field this Sunday. And, you know, we know they need him because you're already without Edelman and Lewis, and you're going to be without Gronkowski for at least a week or two. You need him. I'm not feeling as hopeful on Hightower. He's been out there. He's wearing a knee brace on the knee. He walked through the locker room. It's funny, some of the reporters and I had different views. I thought he had a slight limp and was really favoring the knee. Others didn't think he had a limp. And, you know, sometimes it's a dangerous game to play when you're just observing that, because some guys have a strut that looks like a limp, a swagger. But I'm a little bit more dubious on Hightower getting out there. The good news is you may get Jamie Collins back for the first time coming off that illness. So, you know, it's not all air at linebacker. It's kind of one step forward, one step back with those two guys maybe swapping places.
We're talking with Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. Patriots did make some roster moves. So will we see Demaryius Johnson maybe back there returning kicks on Sunday?
Yeah, I do think there's a chance you'll see that because he's an experienced guy in that area, especially early in his career with the Eagles. He had a punt return for a touchdown. He's had a very good average, and you know, I think he's returned something like 40 punts and 40 kicks in his career. So he certainly has plenty of experience there. Keyshawn Martin is also another guy who has experience as a returner, and as he gets more healthy from that hamstring injury, you could see him back there because I'm not sure they really want to put Amendola back there if he's, you know, coming off of a knee injury and how important he is to the offense right now. I think they, you know, maybe in certain situations backed up on your goal line or in key spots, you'd put him out there. But otherwise, I think you're going to see either Johnson or Keyshawn Martin back there. And the one thing I'll say about Johnson, and he is absolutely tiny. He is sort of in the Deion Lewis mold, or, you know, he's 5'7"-ish, so he's one of those real small returners. So I'll be interested to see if they put him back there, how he, you know, performs, you know, having not seen what he did previously in his career in Houston and in Philadelphia. But he's a real tiny guy.
The new running back, Trey Williams, some bold statements in the locker room, apparently proclaiming himself the best singer on the Patriots roster.
Yes, and apparently he has a history of singing going back to a bowl game competition in college at A&M, and he said a lot of things. You know, I thought it was interesting. He said he's, you know, here to help this team win a Super Bowl. And that's interesting for a guy who, you know, in Dallas was inactive for four games and then waived, and the Patriots claim him. And he clearly has some confidence. He's another smaller guy, sort of in that passing back mold. And maybe he can catch on. And, you know, they've had luck with those guys in the past, obviously Deion Lewis this year. But, you know, Danny Woodhead was picked up off the waiver wire from the Jets and went on to be a great player for this team. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Trey Williams can bring more than just his singing voice to the locker room and maybe contribute something on the field.
All right, so Sunday, Patriots and a team in disarray in the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill Belichick has said how much he respects Chip Kelly from his days back when he was at New Hampshire. What's the key for the Patriots in taking care of business this week?
I think the key on you know, either side of the ball, I think the key is offensively, they're not going to be as high-powered, but they need to protect. Tom Brady has been hit too often the last couple weeks. I think sacked 3 times each game, but hit 10 times one game, 13 times this week. Just too many hits on Tom Brady. So they need to protect, and the Eagles front can get after you a little bit. Fletcher Cox is a big defensive end in their 3-4 front that leads them in sacks, tackles for losses, forced fumbles, all those things. He's a disruptive player. Connor Barwin's the guy that can get after it a little bit, Graham a little bit. So they have some talent on that front. So I personally don't think Marcus Cannon and Sebastian Romer have played all that well lately. They need to play better. They need to protect Tom Brady because, you know, we've seen everybody else go down, but if number 12 goes down, you know, the rafters and the roof and everything caves in with him. And then on the other side of the ball, I think it's about tackling. You know, I know it's overly simplistic, but this Eagles offense isn't very good. Looks like you may get Sam Bradford back. He's their starter, but he hasn't been that good there. You know, he's running that zone read scheme, but he's not a runner. And they want to run the ball with DeMarco Murray, the free agent signing, but he's only averaging 3.5 yards a carry on his significant carries this year. I think he's up around 160 carries or something, 170 carries. And then their passing game is somewhat limited. It's mostly short passes to the running backs, to Murray or Sproles or Matthews. And Matthews, the receiver, doesn't, you know, they're all short throws. He's under 10 yards a catch. So you just have to tackle. Tackle on the zone read, run plays, and tackle on the short throws. Don't give up any big plays. Because quite frankly, I know Coach Belichick tried to sort of fluff the team up, and you're right, he respects Kelly, but he might be the only one who respects Kelly right now, because it looks like that's a team that's quit on their head coach and has, you know, been outscored 90-31 in the last two games, given up 5 touchdown passes in each of those games to Matthew Stafford and Jameis Winston. Even without as many weapons, Tom Brady's certainly capable of a performance like that. So, you know, protect Tom Brady, don't turn the ball over, and tackle on defense, and I think you should win this game relatively easily.
It seems very simple from here. Now, let me ask you before we let you go, Andy, would you rather see Trey Williams sing at halftime of the Super Bowl than Coldplay?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Coldplay announcement today. I'm sure you saw that on Twitter, and I know people are fighting back. Some people like it. I'd probably rather see Trey Williams, having not really seen him perform before. I think Coldplay is a fine group, but I like really upbeat, exciting, fun shows at halftime, and I'm not sure they're a group that's going to put that on. Maybe Trey Williams can do it. That'd be quite a double dip if he gets there with the Patriots, helps them win the game, and performs during halftime. That'd be quite a day for him.
Well, one for the ages. It is Super Bowl 50, so this would be the time to roll that out, I think.
That's right. And that's why Coldplay doesn't measure up. It is one for the ages, and they are not.
There you go. Right there from the authority. It's Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. Andy, thanks as always. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll catch you again soon.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
15 minutes after 5 o'clock here on Downtown.